Good to be here with you today. My name is Tim Ward, for those of you who do not know me. I served as an elder for several years and just rolled off this past year, and now am leading a community group. My wife Renee is our children's director, and it's a pleasure to be able to be here with you today to share a message with you out of Proverbs. For those of you who have been with us for a little bit, we have been going through Proverbs for the month of June, a proverb a day. And today is the 13th, so we are going to be doing Proverbs 13. And I will get to that in just a moment, but for most of you that have tuned in the last couple of weeks, you got to hear Pastor John talk about wisdom, and then last week, Wes talked about wisdom of hard work, and he referred to ants and how the scriptures speak about ants and the hard work that they do. And today, I'm going to take one verse out of chapter 13 and speak on it, soap on it, if you will. And I want to look at Proverbs 13:12. There's a lot of great verses in chapter 13, such as verse 1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." There's also 13 verse 20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." But today I wanted to talk a little bit about biblical hope, and that comes out of verse 12. Why do I want to talk about what hope is? A lot of us talk about hope a lot. We talk about, I hope my favorite team wins the World Series or wins the Super Bowl. I hope I score a point in my next game, or I hope I do well on that test. I hope I get this job. We use the word hope a lot in our daily talk, our daily vernacular, if you will. But this isn't the hope I'm speaking of. The hope I'm speaking of is biblical hope, the hope that only comes from Jesus. We do have worldly hope, and we'll talk a little bit about what the difference is as we get into this. So let's pray together, and then we will get into the Word and look at what biblical hope is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that you are the one that gives us hope, that the cross and the resurrection are what gives us hope, Lord. Many of us are going through uneasy circumstances, are going through uncertain times, times of loneliness, times of struggle. But Father, you are our hope, and I pray that today I can communicate what that hope is and how to dial into that and seek you out in the midst of our circumstances, that our circumstances would not defer our hope, but we can maintain our hope through all circumstances. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So what is hope? Hope defined. Some people would just call it something that we long for, something that we're looking for, something in the future. Others have said it's looking or trusting in something or someone for your future. Expectancy. Hope is just expectancy. It's looking towards something in a positive way, an expectation that better things are coming, an expectation mixed with desire. So we have a desire within our heart. We want something to happen. We have expectancy. We have hope. Hope is not optimism. Optimism is based on our circumstances. It's worldly, it's secular, it's rational. Hope goes beyond our circumstances. It transcends through our circumstances. Hope looks at reality, and it looks at evidence of the cross, evidence of the resurrection, the promises of God, our Savior, and His resurrection. And this is our core of biblical hope, the cross and the resurrection and the promises of God. And those are the things that we have to cling on to. Those are the things that in the times of dire we cling to, we hope for. are His truth and His promises. Hope is not just wishful thinking. Hope relies on truth. Hope trusts in creativity of God. That's the miracles of God. We trust in His miracles. We trust in the things that He will do in our lives despite ourselves. Our biblical hope traverses life circumstances. It does not rely on the things of the world. It does not rely on what I would call worldly or earthly hope. It does not rely on money. It does not rely on a retirement. It doesn't rely on the government or promises that the government gives to us. It does not rely on our family. It doesn't rely on romance or a perfect mate or being single. It does not rely on any earthly treasure at all. Because hope without God's promises in it is simply delusional. I want to share a story with you, and many of you may be familiar with Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian that lived in World War II. She actually just recently passed in the last few years. But Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian. Her father and her family ran a watch shop in Amsterdam. And when the Nazi Germany came in, Nazis came in and started taking Jews and sending them to the concentration camps, the ten Boom family took their watch shop, which also had their house above it, and they made a hiding place for Jews. And they brought the Jews into their home, risked their lives in order to hide the Jews. And they created this fake wall, and they hid the Jews back there. And they were very successful at what they were doing. They had code words and everything. But eventually, a spy came in, reported them to the authorities, and the Nazis came and arrested them. The father, Corrie, and her sister, Betsy, all went to concentration camps. Within the first few days, their father died, but Corrie and Betsy were both sent to the concentration camps and lived in horrid conditions. Now, these are Christians that were living in Jewish concentration camps, but Corrie and Betsy had a love of the Lord, and they, even when they were in their home before being caught, they would do Bible studies with the Jews. And when they were in the concentration camps, they did not have a Bible, but they clung to the stories of Jesus. They clung to hope. And they would have Bible studies with the other ladies that they were housed with, leading many of them to the Lord and giving them hope in very dire circumstances. If we think that our circumstances are bad, imagine living through the Holocaust, through a concentration camp, where you're fed very little, you're doing labor all hours of the day, no matter what the weather is, through winters, etc. Well, in 1944, when they went into the concentration camp, Betsy and Corrie went in February. By December, Betsy had passed away. But before she passed away, she shared with Corrie a vision of hope, of being outside of the concentration camp and living. And one of the things that they looked for was that Betsy had a vision of was this home, and a home to restore people, to bring people back together, to be with the Jews, to be with Germans, even some of the officers that were persecuting them within the concentration camps. That's what their hope was for. And unfortunately, Betsy ended up dying in the concentration camp. 12 days after Betsy's death, due to a clerical error, Corrie ten Boom was allowed to leave the concentration camp. Now, some of us would say that that was just a coincidence, but that was God working in the details of Corrie ten Boom's life, of rescuing her from that concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom went for the next, I don't know, I think she lived maybe 40, 50 decades afterward, and went around the world teaching about hope, sharing her story about the hiding place, but also about the concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom had a a quote, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I want to repeat that again. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You see, through all of it, Corrie ten Boom and Betsy too relied on God, and they hoped in God. They sought Him. They sought Him amidst the others. They brought them together through Bible study. And at the end of it all, Corrie walked away. And do you know that the Lord brought that vision that Betsy had to fruition? And it was almost just as Betsy had seen it and explained it to Corrie. And that is the God of hope, the God that works through circumstances, the God that knows what you're going through, and He takes you through those things on purpose in order for His purpose to be fulfilled. So let's go back to Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but as a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. What does deferred mean? Deferred means to put off, to delay, or to distract. So what this is saying is that hope that is put off or delayed or distracted can make our hearts sick. And many of us know that because we've had hope and something has happened in our life to distract us, to get us waylaid into a different path for a little while. But hope traverses all of that. So what are some of the things that can create that deferral, create that delay? The first thing is maybe our expectations of what we hoped for are not coming to fruition. Maybe sometimes it's simply that we're having to wait too long and we become impatient. So we begin to lean on something else or look to something else to bring us hope or to bring us happiness, if you will. Not joy, but happiness. Sometimes maybe we are treated unfairly or wrongly. You know, sometimes it's not us that we haven't done anything wrong at all. Somebody else has come into our lives and there's situations of abuse or there's situations of neglect. Maybe we've been just treated poorly. Maybe you had a great job and you had a boss that came in and just cleaned house. You did nothing wrong, but you suddenly found yourself without a job. Sometimes things just don't go the way we think they should go. And so therefore we lose hope in the midst of it. Our circumstances sometimes cloud our vision of hope. In other words, we get lost in the weeds. We sometimes begin to focus too much on our circumstances and what's going on around us, and we lose sight of the hope of God. We lose sight of the things that He has for us and the promises that He gives us in Scripture. Maybe we were faithful in Bible study for a while, but then we stopped and we got distracted by other things in our lives and we put more time into those things. And then that brings me to, we focus on earthly things, earthly kingdom, rather than the kingdom of heaven. The things that we want, like I mentioned before, money, or retirement, or a family, or things like that. We get lost in the earthly treasures of life rather than what God has for us. Sometimes life as we know it just shatters. Like I said, we maybe lose that job. Sometimes there's a death, a tragedy, and we get delayed. We get sidetracked. We have to go through a time of healing. Sometimes we have major health changes. Sometimes we get that diagnosis, and it distracts us. Often there's tragedy in life. We've all gone through different things in life, and sometimes those things have distracted us. Sometimes we're just brokenhearted and they take us off of the truth of God, off of His promises, and we begin to look to other things. Sometimes we just want our own freedom. We feel like maybe the promises of God are weighing us down, or we just can't live up to them and we want freedom, but we want freedom in the way that we want it and not in God's way. Maybe we just want heaven now. We think that if we can do certain things now, that this is our heaven. This is our opportunity to do things that we will never get to do again. And sometimes those things distract us. Sometimes we cling to or believe in an idea that is not biblical or simply untrue. Maybe someone spoke into our lives when we were younger, a lie about us. They told us we were ugly or not smart enough or not good enough. And we've believed in that lie for so long that we cannot believe in the biblical truths. And it's delayed that hope. It's distracted us because we've believed in something that's simply untrue. And last, maybe we've went from, I want to see Jesus, to what can Jesus do for me? Maybe when we converted and we first met God, we were all about Him and we wanted Jesus. We just wanted to see Him. We wanted to see Him in every aspect of our lives. And as we moved along, our prayer life became, Jesus, what can you do for me? I want this now. I want that. And those are very dangerous traps for us to go down. But maybe sometimes we just need that wake-up call to show us that there is hope, that there is something in the future. All of these things that I've just mentioned can distract us. They can lead us to inaction. They can lead us to despair. They can lead us into a time of depression, a loss of focus, a time of wanting that's never fulfilled. And we continue down that path. And any of you that have been in a time of depression or a time of seeking our own ways rather than the ways of the Lord, know that it can be a complete time of utter despair, no hope at all. These things are all very natural. They happen to everyone. They even happen to Jesus. If you think about Him just before He went to the cross, He longed for the things of heaven. He asked His Father if it couldn't be done a different way. We all want things to be different every now and then. We all struggle. Struggle is part of the human experience, but it doesn't have to stop there because the Lord knows, just as He knew in Corey Ten Boom's life, in Betsy Ten Boom, He knew what they were going through. He knows that struggle. And sometimes He ordains that struggle. And I know that that is not popular, especially in the American church, that the Lord would design struggle for our life in order for Him to teach us something. But He does. Because it's sometimes in the valley that we learn the greatest lessons. Hope is part of the human experience as well. It's what keeps us going. Philosophers and theologians have written about it for centuries. So, what is a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. That's the second half of that verse. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Well, sometimes we have that hope, we get waylaid, we get sidetracked, and sometimes just the smallest thing can bring us back. A spark, if you will, that grows the flame. Sometimes it's something small, sometimes it could be something big, but it brings us back a glimmer of hope, and we are renewed, we're strengthened, hope is restored. So let's look a little bit, because this one verse talks some about hope, but all throughout Scripture, there's 141 references to hope within the Word of God. So let's look at some of those scriptures today and see what He has to say about hope. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish." So the hope of the righteous, those that believe, brings joy because their hope is in the promises of God. Expectations of the wicked, on the other hand, are in worldly and earthly things, and those things will perish. So if we put our hope in God and in the righteous things, he promises us joy. How about Proverbs 11:7? The wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectations of wealth perishes too. That one's pretty self-explanatory. When the wicked die, hope perishes because hope was in earthly things and not in the things of the Lord. How about Proverbs 23, verse 18? 23:18 says, "Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Why is there a future? Because the author of Proverbs knew that there was a hereafter. There was heaven. There was something to hope for. There is a hereafter. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. It will not be deferred, as we read about in Proverbs 13. How about Psalm 33, verse 18? "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him." You know, John talked a couple weeks ago about the start of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love." Where do we place our hope? On his steadfast love. He watches over us. The Lord promises to watch over us. And our hope lies in his unfailing, unwavering love, his steadfast love. And then in verse 22 of that same chapter, "Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." He's placing his love upon us. His hope is our hope. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, and I'm going to read through verse 9. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection." A living hope through his resurrection. "The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Sometimes it's delayed. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while it is necessary that you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, salvation for your souls." So what is biblical hope seated on? Biblical hope is seated on the promises of God. Biblical hope is seated on glory that awaits us. And biblical hope is that he will use all things for good. Biblical hope also says the things that we are going through are temporary. I want to jump over to Romans, and we'll finish out our time in Romans looking at hope, because Paul wrote about hope quite a bit in Romans. So let's read Romans 5, 1 through 5, and we'll camp out here just a moment while we look at these things, because there's a succession in Romans 5 that we should all cling to, because we all go through struggles. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen to this succession. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So why and how do we rejoice in suffering? Because he's designed our suffering. We may not have seen it coming, but he did. And he uses our suffering to mold us and to shape us, to create trust within us, and to build godly character within us. Let me read that again, that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we suffer and we struggle. He's giving us hope through it by building our character. Suffering does not separate us from God. And so often we go through suffering, we become angry at God, and it's okay to be angry for a moment. It's okay to be angry for a short season of life. God can take it. But when it distracts us and we turn against God, that's when we begin to place our hope in something else. And I promise you, because I've been there, when you place your hope in something else, it will leave you even more empty and feeling more void of only the things that God can fill. Suffering does not separate us from God. God too suffered. Jesus suffered. He grieved. He lost a friend. He resurrected that friend. He longed for things. He longed for the things of heaven. He pleaded with God. He even questioned God in his final hours. So those things are okay. Those things are permissible. But do not lose sight of hope in the midst of it. When I go through difficulty, I don't always want them. But the Lord wants them to produce something in me. He's using it for my good. Romans 8:28, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But when I take my eyes off of the truth that God wants to work through my difficulty, I'm not giving him credit. I'm not putting my hope in him. I'm putting my hope in myself. I begin to create a pity party within myself. I begin to focus on pity. And my hope becomes deferred, and my heart becomes sick, just as Proverbs 13:12 talks about. I begin to focus on my circumstances rather than his promises and what he may be doing in my heart and what he may be trying to teach me. So how do I build hope? The first way you build hope is by running to the Word. Psalm 119:114 speaks to this. Our hope is fueled by God's Word, by His promises. And the only way that we can know what His promises are is by daily reading them. That's why we do Proverbs for a day, every day of the month of June, because it gets you in the Word every single day. What's another way to build hope? Another way to build hope is to commune with God, to be in prayer with God, to abide in Him. Through prayer, which is our communication with God, we seek time alone with Him, and He will fill us with His Spirit of hope. But if we don't take that time, we begin to do it on our own. If we don't take the time to commune with Him, to abide in Him, to rest in Him, to just sit in His presence, we become distracted by other things. And those things we think are beginning to fill us, but they're not. So Romans 8:28, one of my life verses, a life verse of trust. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. He works all things, all struggles, everything we go through together for good, for his good. Also, Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be patient in those struggles, be constant in prayer. So just like we talked about, we abide in him, we commune with him, we communicate with him, we run to his word, and then we begin to rejoice in the hope that he's given to us. So what is hope? Hope is not just expectancy. Hope is contentment with Jesus despite our circumstances. Hope knows who God is and who we are. When we trust in who God is, it brings peace into our situation. Hope remembers that God is in the details. He is the God that ordains all things, even when we don't understand them. Hope cannot exist without the leading of the Holy Spirit. That means that hope is not led by our emotions, by our feelings. It's not reliant on those things. It's reliant on Jesus. It's reliant on his promise. It's reliant on those 3 days after the cross that he said that he would come back and he resurrected. We can trust him because he's faithful. And finally, hope places the shortness of our life and the length of eternity into perspective. We're only here for a short time, but we're in eternity for forever. So let's choose to hope in him and in his promises. I want to leave you today with Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I want to read that to you again and let it soak in to your life. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for hope. We thank you for the cross and the promise of resurrection. We thank you for the promises that are in your word, Lord. Lord, I know that some of us are going through a time of struggle right now, and we cannot see out of the weeds. We're so distracted. Our hope is deferred. We're wanting and we're longing, but sometimes we're wanting and longing for earthly things, things that we think that can fill the hole, can soothe the wound, Lord, but only you can do that. Father God, I pray that this month, as we're going through the Proverbs, that you would bring wisdom into our heart, wisdom into our minds, Lord, and that as we commune with you daily, as we pray, as we seek you, as we run to you, that you will give us a new vision of your hope, a hope that surpasses our circumstances, that traverses through our daily life, that traverses through the tragedies of life, the difficult things of life. Father God, I pray for each one of us that we would cling to you, and that your joy would be our joy, that your hope would be our hope, and Father God, that your love would pour into us and pour out into the lives of others. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray that you would fill us with your hope. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.